And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Clinton County Economic Development in Frankfort, Indiana. I'm Shan Sheridan, your host and director of Clinton County Economic Development and the Chamber. And we are so glad to be with you here on this, I'm not too sure what episode it is, but I know we're getting close to being in our 30th episode. So we'll just name it the 30th episode of the E-Factor. But with me now, my friends from Kirkland, Indiana, they have started a... I'm going to be using a spiritual term. Let's say in Kirkland, Indiana, Chip and Dan Mann joining us today on the E-Factor. First of all, thank you for joining us, guys.
Hey, no problem.
Hello.
Appreciate that. Chip and Dan Mann are brothers. Most folks know them in Clinton County as the Kirkland boys, are the Kirkland brothers, because they had the vision one day, passing through that charming southeastern part of Clinton County town, to do something that had never been done, and that is really just basically redevelop a complete community in Clinton County, and they've done a great job. First of all, guys, I'm going to start with you, Chip. Not because you're the oldest, but you are the oldest. Okay, but just because we had the opportunity of meeting each other a few years ago, but Chip. Tell me a little bit about what was the draw for you here in Kirkland, and a little bit about your background that brings you to this place.
Well, I think what drew us here, Dan and I wanted to finally, we decided to go into business together, and we needed a place to office our company, but that it was a great location for where we were. I think how we ended up with this, doing the community development that we're involved in, was because of the people that live in town, the leadership that was in place here in town, and the background that both of us have. So we both have a background in real estate, mine more in developing, Dan's more in construction, and we just decided to pull together and do this and with the town. And I think that's what drew us to doing it, and that's how we ended up pulling the trigger and then starting to go after it.
One of the E's that we talk about here on the E Factor is entrepreneurialism, and we certainly see that in you two in creating this venture. Tell me a little bit how that works in an entrepreneurial's mind, an entrepreneur's mind, in the sense of, because you know me, normally as an entrepreneur you have a business or you have a business model. Right. This you were taking a community. So how does that work? And knowing you and your entrepreneurial spirits, how do you take that and focus that energy into not just one little project or two little projects, but this is multiple projects in a complete community?
You want me to do it?
Well, yeah, sure. I was just going to say that, you know, we both have, I think, creative spirits, and we both like to create and build things, you know. And part of that is... you know, the spiritual health of the community, the fixing up buildings, but just fixing up buildings, and it doesn't address everything. You have to have people inside the building. So you have to build the leasing aspect of it. You have to build the construction aspect. You have to have a plan. We're not just like, you know, slinging bullets all over the place. Yeah, yeah. We're focused. So that's where I would start.
Yeah, I think that everybody brings different things. The entrepreneurs that I grew up in business with, every one of them were really good with vision. When they decided to do a project, whatever that project looked like, they could see clearly where they were going. And then you have to stop and you have to write that plan of how to get there. And I think that's what we did. I mean, so you can look at it and you can go, okay, what does this really look like? And that's what we did, you know, 7-8 years ago. Is we stopped and we said, hey, you know, this is a different type of development. Do we really want to take this on? I don't remember. I think we had those conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you ask things like, hey, do you know what things are important, you know, to keep in place? And then you go start talking to people and see if they buy into this vision. And honestly, I think if the people that live here and the businesses that we were talking to coming in and building and opening up their businesses here would have said, no, that's not for us, we would have probably not done this development. It just really wouldn't have happened. But that's not what we heard. And I think that our spirit as a community, which includes Dan and I, but it also includes the community, the people who live here, but it also includes all these people that have moved their businesses or started businesses here. Their energy is driving a lot of this hope. They're incredibly smart people. Craig and Jeff were here from the White Lion before we got here. These guys are still passionate about their business. Laura coming here and opened up her store. Valerie, who lives in town, opens a store. There's a lot. I'm going to miss everybody who's going to be mad because I didn't mention their name. But, Three Straight Cats, Gabby, who not just has her store, but she's involved with all of the events and really drove a lot of that. People before some of these people that open stores. So I think the energy of that is critical, and it wouldn't have happened without that. I think also the community buying in, the leadership supporting everything that we're doing, sitting on boards. They sit on boards with us and to make this work. So I think that's how we got here. We wrote a plan, a business plan, like anybody would, to hit that vision in the future. And that vision, was projected to be a 15-year venture. And so we're about halfway there. And there's some really cool things. And then you take your strengths of your community.
And I was just going to say that, everybody has gifts and talents, and there's a lot of talent in this town. Some of it just wasn't, they were looking for stuff to do, and it just wasn't being utilized in some respects. So that's kind of been neat to see people be re-energized, not from what we've done, but just pulling that talent kind of to the surface and seeing that being used is really cool.
Well, you brought up a couple more E's. When we talk about the E factor, you talk about energy, you talk about effort. And then I think about in all of this is engagement. Without engagement and you engaging the community and how you guys have gone about this, instead of coming in as two developers saying, well, we're going to tear down that building and we're going to buy that corner and we're going to tear this down, you guys really engaged with the community, as you just mentioned, and you got those folks that were already having talent, that already had talent, that already had even their own vision. You brought them together and said, okay, how can we make the visions work together? How can we put this thing together? And then, of course, have a systematic plan, mm-hmm. which don't you think that most of the time people can have a vision, but they don't necessarily have a systematic plan to get the flourishing of the vision?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you create a framework to work within a human being and then let them go to work.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you do. So we have a framework of, these events is a good example. We have the framework, but we don't micromanage everybody what they want to do. We listen to people's input. That's very important, too. We don't have all the answers, and we want other people's input. The more input we get, the better it's going to be. And so you want to work with people. I mean, that's part of entrepreneurship. You don't just want to tell them what to do, and you're going to do it. And that, so it doesn't work that way.
No, not to be successful. Well, we have, there's... And nothing is perfect. This has not been a perfect ride for all of us. But I think if you can be patient and you step back, and like Dan was talking about a structure, we as a community decided to, go to a structure that we felt would actually enhance long-term and be long-lasting. And so we went into the program for Main Street. That was and we utilize our Main Street as an arm of the council. So we work with the leadership, and then the businesses control the Main Street. It's not the Main Street and the people that are involved in it. It is the businesses in this town. And all of them have say, and there's open doors to where they can be involved. That's how we decided to move forward. That was a structure and a framework that worked. Then we try to be very diverse. We try to make sure everybody's represented. And I think that's all you can do. And you hear a lot of times, well, there's always going to be naysayers. I haven't heard a whole lot of them. I've heard people telling us how to do things and wanting us to do it. We usually listen because we're scared of half of the people that live here. They're all like very, but.
And we, have guns in the back of the fridge.
No, not those. I'm talking about the ladies that are like my
mom. Yeah, that's even worse.
I'm talking about the bridge club that plays bridge here.
Yeah.
We listen to them. But, I think this is, for Kirkland, if we build to the strengths, which we believe we have written in our plan, there's a great opportunity for this town to be a great representation of the state. And I think that we we all feel really cool about it. You know, you get the Monon up here. You get, you have a destination of shops. You have great food establishments. These are things that, you know, was part of the vision 7 years ago that all of us got, you know, worked towards. And it's been really cool to be seen in this next stage, where there some of this aesthetic things are getting done. That's going to be another stage of this community's, you know, growing and being long-lasting again. Because it was at one time, and it's starting to be again, and it's really neat to be a part of that.
Well, and it's fantastic to see the vision, and I encourage anyone to come to Kirkland, Indiana, southeastern part of Clinton County. Kirkland, Indiana is right on the old Michigan Road, 421. It is a beautiful, charming little community with one stoplight, but has so many other great opportunities, a great restaurant in Booker's. You've got Greek's Pizzeria, and now you've got the Pink Spoon Ice Cream Parlor.
That's right.
That, I mean, you've got some really cool stuff here. But, okay, let's. I want to get away from Kirkland just a little bit, not too far away from Kirkland, but I want to talk a little more philosophical in the sense of, to you guys, what does entrepreneurship mean? I mean, what is it in your definition of entrepreneurship as two guys that may not even really thought about being entrepreneurs, but you're just doing, because you mentioned the word creative, and I think that is that's a great definition of where you take creativity, and where Dan, you're an artist, and I know you paint, so it's pretty amazing to see some of the work that you've done. To me, I can't draw stick people, so it's really amazing when I can see somebody with such a great talent that can see something in the future in the moment. And that, to me, is what good visionary folks do. But when it comes to entrepreneurialism, what's that definition? What does entrepreneurialism look like to you guys? Chip?
I'm not sure there's a definition. I think the entrepreneurs, and I've been around a lot of entrepreneurs in my life, every one of these shop owners are entrepreneurs.
Yep.
So I think
the lemonade stand down the road is an entrepreneur. Yeah.
I think when you're looking at, I think it's a person that wakes up and their fun is making their day, you know, making, you know, so they create every day something that's productive and moving forward. That's what I look at an entrepreneur. I look at an entrepreneur like that. And honestly, not everybody needs to be an entrepreneur. That doesn't mean an entrepreneur is better than somebody that can be a lawyer or something else. It's because there's negative things for any job that you have. But I think that person that wants to be an entrepreneur and is an entrepreneur, not just talks about it, but is an entrepreneur, is cut from that cloth. You know, so when you see people try businesses and they realize, hey, look, this is not for me, and there's nothing wrong with that. They, you know, so that's just who it is. So I'm somebody that likes to, you know, wake up and go, okay, I'm going to throw all this on and I'm going to go after this today to get my plan accomplished.
Have most successful entrepreneurs failed? At one time or another?
Well, you
a
have
lot.
To fail, you have
I,
to, fail
I think,
to learn.
I always say, yeah, I always say in my business career, I've had about 5 really good, successful businesses I've been a part of, and I've had at least 20 to 30 little ones that failed.
Yeah.
Yes, if you don't fail, then you probably, or it's, don't like wake up being worried, but you're probably going to at some point.
Right, yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
so.
I wanted to bring that out because I think there's people listening today that get it. They have that creativity. They have that drive. They have that energy we talked about,
but
they're scared to death because to fail. And because I think we put so much pressure on us that, well, I got to measure up. I can't be like the Mann brothers. But you're telling me you may have failed 20 times.
Yeah.
In smaller businesses.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to have the right perspective on failure. A failure is not a negative thing. It's not a bad thing. It's something you learn from, you grow from, you take that information and you do it better, you know.
Yeah.
We've failed a bunch of times in this business on maybe a small scale compared to some big failures.
Right.
But
that's because we've failed a lot early on in our
We've learned.
Yeah, so you only do it, you know, partially, and then you go, well, I should have known that and remembered that.
Yeah.
Has every painting that you've ever painted turned out the way that you wanted it to turn out?
Absolutely. None of them do, actually. No, still to this day. But
I have to be the one to tell him to stop painting on a painting. He's like dude, that's not
never
good
finished.
Enough.
One more stroke. Finish, yeah. One more stroke. Yeah. One more stroke. Well, and I think when you talk about that in regards to entrepreneurialism, I think so often people, that's one of the caveats in and moving something forward, whether it be a business idea, whether it be a church plant, or whether it be whatever the case may be, maybe running for office. They get pulled back by the measuring sticks that maybe social media. So let's talk a little bit about that. What do you guys measure? How do you measure success? How do you measure what is Kirkland going to look like, or not look like, or what that painting is going to look like? What's your measuring stick?
Well, just the first thing that comes to my mind anyway is it's never finished. You know, that's kind of the mindset. It just never is. It's kind of like a spiritual growth. You know, you're never going to be
perfect.
Right. So you're growing towards something. So in my mind, it's moving things forward. It's not sitting down on your laurels and just sitting back and letting, you know, it doesn't work like that. You
let life happen.
Yeah, you have to pursue, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I think when you deal with any business, I don't think you write a business plan to lose money. I think you write a business plan to make money. What you do with that is a different issue. Some people like to buy things, and some people like to reinvest in a community or reinvest in something. So you have a plan, and so what should drive your success, I believe, is the results of that plan. You know, are you on track? You know, so I think you get caught up on, you know, your pile of money growing, which is never where you go.
Right.
And I think the other is it's a timeline issue. And I think you have to take both of those and kind of take them off the table and focus on your plan and measurable things. You definitely have to have things that are measurable, and each year you break out your plan and you go, here's the five important things, and these are the things that we're going to be working on, and you do those things. And you try to make sure everybody is on the same page. That means, you know, because you can't hit your goals if they don't know what the goals are. And so if we're all in this together, then it needs to be an agreed upon approach. And that's what we do here with our Main Street board, with our people that are connected in all of the businesses. We try to make sure everybody's communicated with. Not perfect, but we certainly try. And that's how we measure things. Is are we hitting our goals? That is driving our plan to success, which is that, you know, the 15-year thing, and that's how we measure.
How important is communication in all of this, you know, strategic plan or vision? And we've talked about engaging people, but being able to have that open, because that's a hard thing for people. We talk about I've been in seminars where, you know, you think, wow, everybody's on the same page, but yet they don't know it because they've not been able, they're not talking. How important is communication in your realm of work and what you're doing here in Kirkland?
I think it's difficult to, communication is one of those things when you are working on a goal that it takes a lot of energy, and it's energy you have to force yourself to do. So you try to do everything you can in a system way that makes sense. So, you know, we invite, let's say for a board meeting, for like a Main Street, you know, we invite all the merchants to come to those board meetings. It eliminates the fact that if somebody doesn't come and they didn't get the communication, it eliminates the fact of us chasing everybody around. So you got to put things that are impractical. But on the other side of it, if you get blindsided and somebody says, I did not know what you were doing, and it's very frustrating, and that does happen when you are building and you're growing, you have to be compassionate and understand, and you have to step back and figure out a way to communicate that works in a structured way. But you don't get mad about it. You got to try to communicate the best you can. That's probably the hardest thing when you're doing something like this, at least.
Well, yeah, and without any structure coming into this as far as communication goes.
Yeah,
we had to, in some senses, build some of that structure, and it felt, you know, you get yelled at because you didn't communicate like you said, and instead of taking that personal, we always evaluate how can we communicate better, you know?
Yep.
And we're still not perfect. And no. I don't think it ever will be, but
yeah, and
even
then,
with great technology, it's still
And that was like when it's funny because we listen to you want to get good advice, go to the restaurant, ask Jennifer
how to do it. Jennifer Booker, she'll take care of you.
She'll take care of you. But she actually said to me one time, I was getting frustrated because people were getting mad because I was sending an email to everybody with like an agenda or whatever, and they're like, And they were yelling at me for not having any agenda, but they didn't even open up their email. And she said, why don't you quit trying to fight the system? Everybody text. So about 5 years ago, I take a picture of our agenda, and I have group textings of all of our merchants, and I text it to them. But that was her call.
Yeah.
And if I was dumb enough to keep like getting, you know, like, hey, I'm doing what I have to do.
Right.
Instead of going, there has to be a better way, let me ask some people some advice. And that's the kind of stuff I think I would encourage anybody to do is, you know, as we get older, we should ask more questions, not say I got more answers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we deal with here. It's very important, but it's never going to be perfect. But it's important to always try to get better at it.
Well, something that we do when we go on mission trips all the time, and we have our little orientation to the mission trip, and we use one word, and I'll talk about this word for probably 30 minutes, and that's flexibility.
Exactly.
Being able to be flexible in anything in life, whether it be the lady that's counting out the change in front of you at the the convenience store that you're just trying to get a cup of coffee and get out the door, and you know, now she's going to talk about her grandchildren, and then they go, and you're like, oh my goodness, or being flexible in business when it becomes a business plan, or the creative ideas that may be flowing that somebody may not have that same, they don't look at it the same way, and being able to have flexibility in talking. With flexibility comes patience. How patient have you had? How much patience have you had here in Kirkland? You might have had a lot. Dealing with people.
Yeah. Well, that's my biggest struggle, patience. But I will jump on something you said, is flexibility. I look at it as humility. Mm. I think humility is very important in life, especially if you're married. That's a big deal. Yeah.
humbled every day.
But I think practically in this, you know, you want to listen to other people because I don't have all the answers. And that's an important perspective, at least it has been for me, to be able to grow in every area, not just.
And it's really good when you get a lot of people around you and everybody's coaching each other. I mean, Dan and I being able to work together, my former business partner, we had the same kind of relationship for a long time. And, you know, we call and talk about advice, you know, how to deal with, you know, presenting something to a council. And I think you should always open up to other people's ideas. There's a mission that, you know, that goes to Haiti, Nehemiah Vision Ministries. And those guys, I remember, you're getting teams like from all over the place, but a lot of teams are coming from this area, and they go down there, and that's the first thing that everybody is told is flexibility. And you forget when you go to another place, which this is another place, you're in somebody's world. You have to be flexible. You cannot go in with your hammer and say we're going to get this job done. Sometimes you have to stop and let it take its course. And a lot of times, what has been said to me sometimes is you're not in control. You know, God is in control. Mm. So why are you trying to force something to happen? And because you're looking at that vision, trying to get it done, and you want. Yeah, and sometimes you overstep and you start like forcing that to happen. It ain't going to make it go faster.
Right.
and it's very hard in American culture because we want it our way. Everything, go to the, everything.
And fast.
And get it to me fast and get it the way I want it. And that's just not a smart way to live.
No.
And I think we're still learning.
Before we finish this thing up, I want to go back a little bit about Kirkland and some of the things that will be coming up, and you guys can talk about it, and we can invite people and market Kirkland a little bit. Give me two or three factors that you guys have been able to figure out. And again, you just mentioned in humility that you don't have all the answers, but to somebody that's out there, a young person that maybe has a great idea or is looking to open up that next business, or someone that's working through a business right now, what are two or three key factors? And we've already talked about it, but let's go ahead and put a number on them and say these are some of the top three priorities that you have learned that has been successful for you guys, that have worked for you guys. What would be those three components? What would be the three top three, I guess?
Well, I think you want me to go first, right?
Well,
I'm getting that look.
I think the first thing is, if you want to start a business and you have a passion about something and you want to start a business, you probably aren't going to be that passionate about what you're passionate about if you make it a business. Yeah. So I think you've got to look at business as you got to start with a financial plan. You take your idea and you got to start with the numbers. Yep. And that is not natural. It's not where we want to go. We want to go to other places. So you got to start with a financial plan. You got to break that out and see what does this make sense, and be realistic. And you do a lot of research and get your numbers and that sort of thing. So when you start, when we started our illustrative company, we went through and looked at other companies and evaluated, and we started putting our business plan together based on what the numbers were like bringing out. The second thing, I would say, you can control what direction you go with your business. So if you have a business that needs a lot of financing, then you're going to have a lot of debt. Then you're going to need to be okay with debt. And so you got to be okay. Do I want that with my business? Because you can go a different direction. Mm. So with our real estate business, we can go to Indianapolis or some other big things, or we can build, you know, $10 million, $20 million projects, but then we're going to start having bank loans. And, you know, so you can start and go, hey, look, this is important or not. But another one is an employee business. So if you're looking at, if you're going to have an employee, then you better be reading management books, how to manage people. And you're going to have to understand that you're developing somebody now. That's the culture you want to build. So you better be learning about those things. Manufacturing, same thing. You better be understanding a manufacturing business, and you better be getting good advice. You know, some of these guys that went before us that taught, you know, us how to do things. I remember going into one of the manufacturing companies, and the first board meeting, one of the board members just said, "We're hiring an outside company," and it was expensive, and I was like miffed. You know, I'm like, we're going to pay somebody to do a floor layout. And, you know, he just knew it was the smartest thing we ever did in that business right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. So I think you just got to start with the finances. You got to work your way through the whole process, and you can pick early, but there's a point where you can't pick anymore and you're on that path. So try to pick right up front and make your decisions early.
Wow. You know? Some great advice. So, Dan, to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, kind of adding on to that is to not be afraid to go out and talk to people that are successful in the business that you're in. Mm-hmm. Go have a lunch with them and just pick their brain.
Because that's not natural either.
No, you mentioned
about the finances not natural, but that's not natural either, because we think, oh, they're our competitors or whatever. We don't want to talk to those guys.
Right. It's the best. It's awesome.
You'll cut off years off your learning curve.
And those people are wanting to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they may say, I'm either going to really fuel you, or I'm going to discourage you enough where you're going to go back to your real job. You know,
I think that's brilliant. That is one of the best pieces of advice that was ever given to us.
Is to talk to other people that have the same idea, or doing what you want to do.
That are successful, in that, you know, I probably wouldn't talk to somebody that their business that failed 5 years ago.
No.
And they don't do it anymore.
Because they don't want to like hear that.
Well, and you guys have been, I appreciate you being with us today, because this has been phenomenal information. You have Kid Domino, the illustration company. You're invested in Kirkland. You've got a variety of other things going on. How do you see Kirkland, and we just got a couple minutes left, but the next year or two, what are some things that you can say, hey, folks, keep an eye on Kirkland, Indiana. This is coming to a community near you, which is Kirkland, Indiana.
Yeah, it's always fun in the season of Kirkland, because we start the events in May, and it goes basically till December. And those events just keep getting bigger. They keep getting more fun. We get more people involved. And I would say the events are for sure, one of the places that I would say Kirkland is building.
And then the other is, this last piece is we're in that, you know, the fixing up the outside, the sidewalks, the trees, and the path and all that stuff right now. We're in that process.
We got some murals.
Oh, yeah.
Ideas for murals that are coming.
I mean, the buildings look great and the insides and all that, but that's those two things right now are where this is going. You can see it every day, you know, something new.
Every day.
It's really cool.
I come through here at least once a week, and it's always amazing to me. And when you mentioned, Dan, the events, it's awesome. You come out on a Saturday or a Sunday, you can't find a parking place, especially during the Arts Festival or Farmers Market or Car Cruise In that you're going to be having this weekend. I mean, there's always something going on, and I think events are so important. Guys, I cannot thank you enough for joining me on the E-Factor today.
No problem.
And we'll be talking to you more about not only you, but Kirkland, Indiana. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And don't forget, folks, you might be the E-Factor in someone else's life. You may be the hope, the encouragement, the empowerment in somebody else's life. Go out and do just that. Be the E-Factor. Be an E-Tribute to someone today, because we're all looking for those in our lives, and we're certainly looking for some hope.